Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready to start in session number 8, Satanism 101, the course, Satanism 101. How you doing? Let me know if you need anything along the way. Also, remember the email address, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And also remember that on Sunday nights, you're welcome to call in the live talk show if you have questions, or you can send questions ahead of time, email-wise, and I can try to address those. But we are on page, if you've got your notes, we're on page 20, and we're touching on popular Satanism. Again, may the Lord strengthen you, bless you, and just keep you covered. Psalm 91 is a great, great psalm, declaration of God's presence, power, protection. It's all about spiritual warfare. Matter of fact, many of the psalms, especially if you read the psalms throughout the 80s, you'll deal with a lot of warfare issues. The warfare manifested to Israel through demonized tribes. Other nations, the Philistines, Hittites, Moabites, on and on. Many of those tribes and pagan nations would conjure demon powers, do sacrifices, and they were always inspired to attack Israel, to eliminate Israel. And the reason is, again, because behind the scenes, it's a spiritual war. As we read in Ephesians, that our warfare is not flesh and blood, but it is what? It is against principalities, powers, unseen, but can be detected. That's the important thing. And that's the assumption of Ephesians 6 for all of us. As a believer in Christ, of course, you have the authority that Jesus has given you to trample on darkness. You have the armor of God, which the Holy Spirit commands us to put on and leave on. And you have the Word of God that will not only make you strong, but give you discernment also, the ability to discern. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And as much as we'd like to just acknowledge that Jesus has given us joy and life and hope and assurance of heaven and seeing God face to face, here, before the return of Christ, there is a battle. And there's a battle for souls. And there really is a real Satan, as Jesus himself shows and demonstrates. There really is in biblical theology, and God has revealed and God has shown us these things. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us that individuals would be out there worshiping Satan. For a backdrop to all of this, both popular Satanism and the next session, traditional Satanism, I want you to remember Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 deals with Jesus, well, literally Satan coming to attack Jesus. And he uses the word of God, and he also, part of what he wanted to do is get Jesus to worship him. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you things. I want you to remember that concept in the background of all Satanism, specifically when it comes to Satanism, traditional Satanism, when we deal with the Temple of Set, old Luciferianism, and things like that. I want you to remember that principle, that Satan wanted the Lord Jesus to bow down. Or you can also study 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where ultimately the counterfeit incarnation of Satan himself, he's all about setting himself up in the temple of God, right where Jesus is to return, by the way, visibly, to be worshipped and demand worship. And that's what we see in the Old Testament, in the gods and goddesses, and the demand for worship. That's what we see in the Nephilim. Now, when we come to popular Satanism, we have something a little bit different. I'm going to say here that we have Satanism that's really promoting the concept of the sin nature, and maybe even the worship of the sin nature. Now, the sin nature in Scripture, in the King James, we call it, it's translated the flesh. Better translated is sin nature. I wish, and many times translations would translate it, the sin code. One theologian loves to translate that, the sin nature issue, as the sin force. Because when you study Romans chapter 8, you realize that the sin, I mean, it's one thing to sin, but we have a sin nature before we get saved. And that sin nature within us is because ultimately of the act of sin, the rejection of God, throwing down his word, accepting the word of Satan, accepting the presence of Satan, and following him, well, that caused the human race was injected, literally, down to the core of our DNA and genetics with the concept of a sin code, a sin force, a sin nature, as many translations say it. You'll see in Romans chapter 8 that the sin nature in and of itself is hostile to God, cannot submit to God, and doesn't want to submit to God. The sin nature originated in the fallen cherub himself. The sin nature is a presence within fallen humanity that is linked to Satan himself. Now read Ephesians chapter 2, and you'll see where it talks about the ruler of the power of the air is now at work, the Greek word meaning a supernatural operative power. He's at work in the sons of disobedience, the children who are in disobedience to God. If a person is lost, the Bible describes them as someone who is in disobedience to God, and Satan has a platform in their lives. And that platform is the sin nature. To influence it, to move, he has legal rights. And when we get saved, Colossians chapter 1, you know, verse 12 and 13, we have been literally transferred, ripped out of the dominion of Satan and brought into the rule, the basileia of God. And we are now legally transferred, positionally transferred, and actually the sin nature has been rendered powerless, Romans 6. Satan's grip on us has been cut off, his rights cut off, and we've been marked, Ephesians chapter 1, we've been marked in Christ with the seal of the Holy Spirit, the ownership of God, the legalities now, we are legally God's, his, and he has an ownership over us, and Satan no longer has those kind of rights. And so salvation is a big thing. And that's why we have so much scripture to explain this. But the reason I'm sharing this backdrop is because when we get into Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan and dealing with the Satanic Bible, which those are the three elements, the centrality of popular Satanism, I want to tell you ahead of time to think through this, okay? The Satanic Bible, when I first read it years ago, it just simply reminded me of a fallen person's perspective, because Anton LaVey will continue to refer to the base nature, the carnal nature, things like that. See, in fallen man, the carnal nature, the sin nature, does desire self-exaltation, self-pleasure, self-gratification, to just simply serve self. That's the ultimate issue in the sin nature. When Satan ripped himself out of his own created position and tried to exalt himself, that's what the original sin was all about, the original issue. The concept behind the creation of sin, Ezekiel 28, is a twisting and turning, an exaltation, an abnormal exaltation of self, which in his case brought disintegration. And in the human race, it brought destruction, but it also brought in not only the acts of sin that we commit, but a disposition to be hostile to God, a disposition to worship and serve created things, a disposition to be selfish. So if you will study Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down, you will see a panoramic view the Spirit of God gives concerning the development of the depths of the sin nature. It will deal with the overt acts of sin, but in increasing measure. So when I read the philosophy of Satanism in popular Satanism, I see it as really and literally a defining. A lost individual defining the sin nature they feel and think and perceive within. And the more you give to that sin nature and yield to that sin nature, the more your entire being as a human being is transmuted, the more cynical, angry, and hostile a person will be towards God. And the more they'll also find themselves being completely unable to respond. I mean, they don't want to obey God, and they want to go really the opposite way. And so, irregardless of popular Satanism saying that they do not believe in a real Satan, it doesn't make any difference what they say. The Word of God is still true. Traditional Satanists, Luciferians, and others will tell them that they're just, it's a joke. That's how many of those look at popular Satanism. Now, popular Satanists take themselves very seriously. They see it as a philosophy of life. They see Satanism as kind of a principle, which we'll go over here in a little bit. But to really understand them, I put on your web page for this session a couple of videos and a couple links to popular Satanism sites like the Church of Satan. So I'm going to say it's up to you whether you want to look there and study those and take a look. They're kind of like PG-13 rated. So, you know, it's up to you. But if you want it from the horse's mouth, per se, and you can go to YouTube videos online and you can see a number of videos with Anton LaVey, who is the founder of the Church of Satan, the author of the Satanic Bible, and of other books also, and who really birthed that popular Satanism view. Let's go over the notes for this section right now. And on page 20, you have at the top, again, descriptions and the character of popular Satanism. Again, they believe a belief in satanic principles, but not Satan. Now, when they say satanic principles, I am saying that it's really a philosophy of the sin nature. When I read the Satanic Bible, it's a philosophy of the sin nature. Now, it will include later on, though, spiritual things like the rituals, the saying the phrase, Hail Satan, all those kind of things, whether they know it or not, biblically speaking, it creates doorways for satanic presence. Whether they would ever want to admit that or not, it brings doorways. But see, the doorway is already legally there through the sin nature anyway. And the sin nature, if given into and yielded to and obeyed in deeper and broader ways, obviously brings, at the very least, the oppressive or, you know, right around the atmosphere of satanic presence or the attachment. Ephesians 4 deals with the issue of anger. And I find that a lot of those Satanists that I've talked to and that I've written to and who responded and to the books and materials and videos and all that stuff. And I mentioned this too, that under F, they're cynical, arrogant, and I find them to be bitter sometimes too. Now, they might not like that, but there's also kind of a controlled anger. But don't forget Ephesians 4, where it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a foothold, because it will give the devil definitely a foothold. Whether they believe that or not is not the point. They don't change reality just because they want to, because they don't believe the Bible or they don't believe there's a real Satan. Now, there are young Satanists that read Anton LaVey's book, again, that we've engaged. The young man out of Cleveland years ago that we led to Christ, he was reading that. He was the one boasting that he's going to take over Anton LaVey. When Anton LaVey died, he was proclaiming he's going to be the next black pope, that he's going to take over. He'll be more powerful than ever, more powerful than Anton LaVey. And he did do some ritual stuff, and he's the one that was highly demonized. As a matter of fact, the moment he tried to pray out loud to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, he was seized by the demonic attachment that he had and literally thrown to the ground, and he could not speak out loud the name Jesus. We had to rebuke the demonic powers and pray for him and that he would be released to pray. And he did. And he prayed to accept Christ and renounce all the other things. So we saw a major spiritual breakthrough. So spiritually, you've got to stay with the Word of God, regardless of what you read in popular Satanism and so forth and what any of them say. The bottom line, biblical, accurate truth is found in Scripture. So you'll have to always be looking and discerning with biblically lit eyes, spirit-lit eyes and understanding. And when you're dealing with Satanists in any measure whatsoever, I think there's a little sense of being a warrior witness, as I'll say in session 9, and having, you know, knowing who, you know, that you're standing there sharing, and that there could be demonic presence that says, hey, you know, literally in their mind, they're saying, hey, this is one of ours. We have legal rights. Stay away. And so they may want to create warfare. It could be the demons that are around them because of their belief systems, or attached, and in some cases with popular Satanism, even possessions. Now, in the other forms of Satanism, we're going to find much stronger powers and to deal with, and we'll talk about that. Well, the belief in the satanic principles, not Satan himself. We're going to go over the 9 statements here in a few moments. There's a deep commitment to self, which you're going to see in the 9 statements. And I'm going to only go over the 9 statements. I've given you the links to the primary main website of the Church of Satan, so that if you want to go there and read their philosophy, read their stuff, read the materials, and see, again, from the horse's mouth, that's the best place. Let alone if you ever meet a popular oriented Satanist and want to just, and one of the best things you'll hear me say later on, one of the best things is just let them talk. You know, ask them questions. They'll tell you about stuff, and in that kind of evangelistic questioning, somewhere in there, you'll be by the Spirit of God. Anyway, he leads you to witness. Well, they still despise Christianity, no question about it. If you do read Blanche Barton, by the way, is a primary key figure with the Church of Satan. And I've read the Church of Satan books and stuff, you know, by her, by the Satanic Witch, other number of materials we've read directly from them, and secondary sources, and in video and in tapes and so forth. And again, engaging. One time I wrote to about, I don't know, maybe 50 priests in the Church of Satan. I got a hold of a whole bunch of addresses. Now, most of them did not write back because I wrote them a letter, and I was literally doing, I did a newsletter years ago that dealt with Anton LaVey, and it dealt with the birth of his son, supposedly, I think, on All Hallow Eve's evening, and just some of his background and the name that he named his, you know, child and all this kind of stuff. So when I put that article out, I also sent letters and so forth. Now, what happened was a few people wrote me back and said, never write us again. Take us off a mailing list because I did it in bulk as far as mail. One fella actually wrote me back and said it was kind of funny what I wrote, but nevertheless, take him off the list. And I did get one phone call into the Shadow of the Darkness office phone line where an angry satanic priest was saying he cannot wait. This was in the 90s, that he cannot wait till the death of Christianity and the rise of Satanism, and that how it's all going to take over, and that they're going to be the ones ruling, and on and on and on and on. So there was some reaction to some of that. And you're also going to see this. You're going to see a lot of this popular Satanism bleeding over into rock groups that will use their symbols. You find Marilyn Manson completely tied in with the Church of Satan. And you'll find another number of other rock groups and so forth that are tied in to the Church of Satan. Now, some of them do it, you know, again, for the marketing, for the you know, that kind of thing. Some of them do it because they, you know, some of their members read it. Remember, musicians, you know, the lyrics primarily come from their hearts, their belief systems. What we've been trained years ago in apologetics by Francis Schaeffer's materials and Cornelius Van Til, the theologian, is to do lyric analysis, to analyze the lyrics, and you'll find belief systems whether it's nihilism, existentialism, Satanism, whatever, you'll find their belief systems, their worldviews, and how they feel, and so forth. And and many times they're singing, you know, for the, in their view, for the world and the world's beliefs. Well, let's take a look at some more of the things. They're educated, but a lot of their education, again, there's a Satanists really are. I mean, they really like to educate themselves. And they do read, and they have, if you look at the One Church of Satan site, you're going to find where they have links to all the books that are recommended, fiction and nonfiction. They'll have video and movie lists, you know, that they, and music that they all, you know, will think that's part of what fuels their belief system. So they're readers of books and materials. And for many Christians and literally in society people, they're obscure in the sense that most people don't read those kinds of materials. But again, some of those materials are very hard reads, and so they're educated in that sense and feel themselves and as educated individuals. Also, I find this, and especially the ones, at least the younger Satanists I've met, other Satanists that I've talked with when I was in law enforcement to deal with a number of people that were popular Satanists and so forth, cynical, arrogant, and even bitter. And to tell you the truth, when I listened to Anton LaVey in the YouTube videos, when I listened to him back in the 90s, I see this cynicism, this arrogance, and I see a bitter person. And you're going to find a lot of that there, because the flesh, that's part of the you know, anger and so forth is part of the flesh. And don't forget, as I mentioned already, Ephesians 4 that deals with the fact that the flesh, being in anger without it being dealt with, can be a foothold for the devil. And that's true for these Satanists. And I believe that's true about the young Satanist I met, Lenny, that we did deliverance with, that I'm not sure he, unless he had done a few of the rituals and he wasn't professional at what he was doing. So please understand, in our culture, when the Satanic Bible written by Anton LaVey was put out in the 1969, I believe, that it was said anyway to have outsold the Christian Bible on college campuses. So please remember that from the 60s on, Satanism was deep growing. And when the books and materials began to come out, which I've already said before, by an occult writer himself, that the 60s in the United States was the second largest proliferation of occultic literature in history, in his view anyway, in a book called The Occult Establishment. Now, that is true about the 60s when you think in terms of Eastern philosophies, TM meditation, you know, all of the Woodstock, and then the induction of the world of drugs. And by the way, we'll be doing a connection between pharmakeios, the concept, biblical concept of drugs being inseparable from demonic presence, and literally certain drugs being what opens gateways to the demonic world, which there's a lot of, well, hallucinations, things like that. And so you're going to find even some Satanists that maybe not, well, I'm not going to say popular or not, whether they're going to use it or not. I do know others use it to delve into and to, you know, basically find Satan. Of course, we know that the famous remote viewer, Ed Dames, also said that he went out and remote viewed Satan. My response to that when I first heard it was, and I've said this on the air before, Ed Dames didn't view Satan. Satan viewed Ed Dames. And when these folks that are out there as far as popular Satanism, and they're saying phrases like hell Satan and doing the rituals, or if you read the Satanic Bible at all, and you read the back, the rituals, death rituals, sex rituals, destruction rituals, so forth, when you read these things, and of course they're going to say, you know, when it comes to blood sacrifice and human sacrifice, it's all mock, almost to the point of sympathetic magic. But they'll look at it as kind of mock and they just do it. But see, here's the conflict I have. When they say they don't believe in a real Satan, but they do these kind of rituals, Is it? Do they just feel that it's just dry stuff and with a dry air and nothing there and nothing occurs? Are they not conjuring, at the very least, in their minds, elementals, powers, whatever, energies? What they don't realize is that they are opening doors. When they repeat some of the actual names of demons, they are literally inviting them to come. So at the very least, I'm going to say again, with popular Satanists, there is clearly an atmosphere of demonic presence around them in their homes where they've built little altars, where they've done these little ritual sites. But also, and I would say that many, and this is my, again, my insight to it, many popular Satanists may have clearly a demonic attachment from all their participation. Biblically speaking, it's very, very clear and very easy for them to get, at the very least, attachment. And that can only be demonstrated, again, with this guy Lenny from Cleveland, by the authority of Jesus and the engagement. It's only then that demons, you know, freak out, basically, and are forced to manifest and move into war, you know, a battle mode. Well, under G, page 20, they say they're not going to harm anybody, no real blood, things like that. And again, even when I've talked to deep underground Satanists, people that are really serious, that know the ancient stuff, you know, many of them have told me that Anton LaVey, behind the scenes, you know, there's a lot of stories about behind the scenes, he really does do this stuff. There's stories way back about Jane Mansfield, who was in the car accident, had her head cut off, she was decapitated, movie star. Well, it was said that he put a curse on her. And Anton LaVey, well, Sammy Davis, you've got to realize the Hollywood aspect too. Sammy Davis Jr. was associated. A number of movie stars was associated. And obviously Anton LaVey was invited and been a part of the world of some of the movie stars. And we also have a connection with him and the movie Rosemary's Baby. So when you look at all of that, I personally can't believe that all the popular Satanists do not get into, like, for example, the destruction ritual. Or if they're doing rituals to conjure powers, to summon the opposite, or whatever. They want sexual favors, they're using forces, at least in their words. Maybe they don't realize how real it is. That might be part of the issue. They may not realize how real. It doesn't make anybody opening the doors and giving legal rights, you better believe the demonic realm will come through. That's the danger of this form of it, let alone the danger of losing their souls, let alone, it doesn't make any difference how cynical, angry. Remember Saul of Tarsus. He was bitterly opposed to Jesus. Very cynical, very arrogant, very bitter. And it says, as we read in Acts chapter 7, that he was breathing out murderous threats against the church and even imprisoning Christians. Now, when you read some of the literature from popular Satanism, you're going to find out, man, I mean, you can read The Church of Satan by Blanche Barton. Not only will you read attacks on Christians, including Tom Wedge, the author of the Satan Hunter, Cops for Christ, Youth for Christ, other ministries. They're aware of Christian ministries. But Anton LaVey's quote that I've given many times in the past, he calls the church, in the 90s anyway, 80s and 90s, his view of the church and the way the Satanists view the church, the body, as the rotting corpse of Christianity. Let me say it again. The rotting corpse of Christianity. In other words, it's a dying thing. They see it as a dying thing. And so when you listen to any of the YouTube videos and any of the materials you read, they're going to look at, you know, in their view, a dying thing. Hey, Nero the Caesar, you know, that was persecuting the church at one time, had an actual coin that was used in society, developed and put out, that said the Christian religion is dead. It was their goal to stamp it out. And Satanists have that same view, but they don't have the authority. And sometimes I wonder whether, you know, if they had the authority, or if they were, you know, would they literally be involved in attacking Christendom? Could they be influenced by the demonic since the doorway is already open to do so? I sometimes think that they will cheer on the Black Awakening, the concept, and that they will be prepared because of their spiritual, you know, choices and preparations and belief systems, that they may be very prepared for the Antichrist and swept away by the powers, because they have no protection and they've utterly rejected Jesus, the Word of God, and again, because of that anger, cynicism, and bitterness, and so forth. Well, I'm going to go on page 20, the origin, beliefs, and so forth. Well, the origins, again, we'll get Anton Sanzador LaVey. Again, you can read about his past, and you can do it in YouTube or the site itself. He was involved in criminology, and he was involved in law enforcement one time. He was part of a, you know, involved in being a in carnival. He was very, as far as musician, he was very, very good. Matter of fact, he's put out satanic music with a pipe organ. And you know, he would recommend more classical style Satanism, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not always, you know, he wasn't into heavy metal, whereas popular Satanists today have found a venue in black metal music. And that's why you're going to see a lot of the symbols and a lot of connections with popular Satanism in a lot of the satanic groups. Whether they fully believe or not, many of them have definitely at least read the Satanic Bible and got into the materials. Now, if you again understand that the Church of Satan itself there in San Francisco was formed, and you can see pictures of it on the web and those YouTube videos, a little black building, church building. Now, the interesting thing about this, listen, years ago, you know, that we had when Tom Wedge was here, who wrote the book Satan Hunter back in the 80s, he was doing seminars everywhere and on television and so forth. And his book was being used in law enforcement. It was one of the earlier ones. There's more developed material now. But he was, when we had him in here in Akron, he was invited by Anton LaVey to come to San Francisco and meet. Well, he did. And when he got back, we had him back in Akron, where he showed pictures of the building, the church, all kinds of pictures that dealt with Anton LaVey. Now, Anton LaVey invited Tom Wedge out there, the author of the book Satan Hunter, who was also law enforcement, and he brought him out there to tell him things like, you know, Tom, I appreciate the book you've written. You've given an accurate description. You're one of the only ones that have done so. Things like that. Now, the other side of the story is Anton LaVey wouldn't come out until like midnight. They went to a French Quarter restaurant. He ordered his meat, bloody rare. And Tom Wedge, as a joke, said that he ordered extra garlic. Well, you have this meeting going on. Now, in my perspective, and I told Tom Wedge this, because Tom Wedge eventually left doing the work that he was doing. And he was basically wiped out, financially, everything else. I told Tom he needed to learn spiritual warfare things to understand. Destruction rituals, curses. I would not be surprised, and I would say that I would definitely believe, unless really convinced otherwise, that Anton LaVey would have put some kind of, curse. Now, popular Satanists believe, kind of like, if you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. If you show them respect, that's okay. But if you don't, they're going to hit you hard. So knowing that, that Tom was mentioned in the materials of the Church of Satan and so forth, it's obvious that they've hit him up. And again, in our personal belief, and I'd had to two or three days burden for Tom Wedge, and drove down a few hours to the city he lived in just to find him and tell him that I'm praying for him and that I felt a need. And that was about the time that he was quitting all of it and getting out, because he was just wore out with all of the bad things that were occurring. Well, on page 20, we're going to deal again. Satanic Bible written in the 60s, late 60s, and still out there today. They're declaring that a new revised edition will be out there. I've still got the copy here. And again, It's kind of, again, a philosophy of what he would consider is the base carnal nature of a human being, the animal nature of a human being. I see it as him, his explanation of human nature that is that has that sin nature pulsing through the concept of being, you know, self-oriented. Now, the Satanic Bible will include rituals, names of demons, Enochian chants. You can call it Enochian or Enochian. By the way, some of the popular and traditional Satanists will get bugged if you don't pronounce it exactly their way. But after you've listened to a number of them, they all pronounce it a little bit different, some of the things. There's membership online. Back in the days when we were in the law enforcement courses, I think it was $25. And at the one point, there was like 25,000 members, the Church of Satan, way back then. Obviously, it's grown since then. And so you can, it's group oriented. The Satanic philosophy, again, we're going to read the nine core beliefs in here in just a moment. But again, I think the philosophy deals with the exaltation of self and self-promotion, self-preservation. And we'll see that in a moment. Satanic meetings can be occurring. You can find in Yahoo satanic groups everywhere, all over the globe, in Russia, Germany, here in the United States, here in my city, your city. There are grottos, there are meetings of Satanists that'll gather together and they'll do different things. And you'll find that there's priests and so forth, and there's a developmental training in the Satanic Church's system. And they've had a number of outings with others that have left and created their own groups. But anyway, there's meetings going on all over that are connected to popular Satanism. And now the difficulty here is, again, seeing teenagers get a hold of the book, the Satanic Bible, and beginning to try to do, as a novice, try to do some of the rituals and begin to get involved in calling on, you know, the demon names and things like that. And they don't realize that the powers will come. Like the young man, again, the young man that I dealt with. And he's not the only one we've dealt with. Even other older ones, and even law enforcement here locally. There's one that's a pure, absolutely total popular Satanist, shaves his head like Anton LaVey, you know, does, and so forth. Well, the satanic rituals, I mean, on YouTube you can see them, little pieces and stuff of what they do. You know, you're obviously not going to see all of the in-depth rituals, which would include sex rituals, always, obviously. And they will include many things that deal with, again, the promotion, preservation, protection of self. Now, they may believe that their rituals are just maybe symbolic in a sense, but I believe that regardless, even if they believe there's elemental forces in nature that, you know, can be shifted and moved, I do believe when they're doing these that they're creating doorways. And the demonic realm will operate in and through them, and that concept of answered prayer for Christians, there's answered rituals even for popular Satanists where demons perform. Satanic attack, yes. If you will bother them or if you disrespect them, whatever, they will do destruction rituals and things like that. Usually, I've never encountered a Church of Satan type Satanist, a popular Satanist that would violently, you know, come after us as we've done. You know, even in law enforcement, the idea of cult crime usually is not tracked back to professional popular Satanists. Maybe, again, self-styled or dabblers or even psycho-Satanists that have taken the literature and used it in novice ways and so forth. Satanic music, again, on the website, you're going to see the promotion of particular music and music that would conjure. And I would believe, personally, from my experience, that some of the music can draw, just as I believe certain candle magic, certain things that are used, smells that can also draw, that are associated with the demonic side can draw dark powers. Now, if you've ever listened to any of his music, by the way, in the Church of Satan, a book by Blanche Barton, there's a song in the back called Rage Satanus. And it's all about, you know, calling on the lions to come. It's a song that literally deals with the destruction of Christianity and the emergence and victory of the satanic empire. And it has a real drum beat to it, has a real beat to it, and it's you know, the lyrics, I'm not going to repeat them here. If you want to see them, they might even have them on one of the sites, but it's called Rage Satanus. It's really a song that cries out for the destruction of Christianity and the emergence of their belief systems. Well, let me take a look at this next page. Let me mention one more thing on page 20. The Church of Satan goals, as we just got done saying about the song. And so there is at least the disposition, regardless of the rise of Satanism in the popular sense, because they battle with traditional Satanists, theistic Satanists, old Luciferians, things like that. But at least there's a similar sense of antagonism towards Christianity. Again, Anton LaVey's concept that the church is the rotting corpse of Christ, of Christianity, of Christendom. And so the concept of the goal is for the rise of the satanic nature, philosophy, disposition, in opposition to Christianity. So a lot of you know, antagonism and opposition and so forth towards Christianity. Well, let me go over, before I do the nine statements, I'm going to just say real quick on reaching out to Satanists. I think we'll do a separate part two that deals with the nine statements, which we'll do here in a moment for you. As you click it on the web page, you'll see the two parts. But let me just say on page 21, reaching out to popular Satanists, let me just say, you know, five things. They won't like it. They really won't like it. If they're into their little world, they're not going to like it. But I would say do it anyway. Do it anyway. Now, it's not going to be good if you just show up to a group of them and start just yelling and screaming the Bible. That's not going to work. So again, we're to ask God for wisdom. We're to have Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, even when it says there, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. We're to have speech seasoned with salt, Colossians 4. Ask God to give you words, you know, to approach Satanists like this. For example, when the law enforcement guys wanted me, basically dragged me over to try to engage Marilyn Manson after a concert. Well, I wasn't able to because he was out of it, demonized. He definitely is beyond just popular Satanism. He has a lot more going on there. And I wasn't able to talk with him because they had to literally drag him away off on the floor into his back room. Whether that was an engagement spiritually or not, I don't know. But I just think it was more of his after he went wild on stage and busted up stuff, cops had to pull him off and take them out of the way. Well, reaching out to them, they won't like it at first, but my concept is do it anyway, in the sense that you got to love them and share with them, engage them. And point B, what I say on page 21 is they may reason with you. You know, if you ask them questions, well, tell me what you believe. Why are you into it? How did you get into it? What does it do for you? Where is it going to take you? If you start asking those kind of questions little by little, and get them to think through how they got into it, why they got into it, where is it taking them, what does it do for them. Again, the concept of logical conclusions. Apologetics. By the way, we have a course that will be coming out called Supernatural Apologetics that deals again with answering, giving an answer for the things that we believe and hold to. It also involves pulling out the props of anti-God systems of belief, intellectual systems, spiritual systems, to pull out the props so that individuals, you know, begin to realize they don't have anything to stand on, and they need to exchange their lie for truth. So when I say do it anyways, I'm saying when you're asking them questions and so forth, under point C on page 21, ask them many questions. It will lead to logical conclusions. When you begin to ask them things like, well, what happens when you do die? You know, if you meet a popular Satanist type person and they got a satanic Bible or you know somebody that has that, well, what happens when you do die? Sometimes I think they're so into self, they're not really into that part, because you're going to see here later, they believe in vital existence, now, living now. And so they're all into now and not later. But when you really press them, because of the nature of man, our lostness, because Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, 15 talks about how Satan does have a power that brings psychological, spiritual fear in the concepts of death that only Jesus can take away. So you're going to find Satanists not having the kind of assurance that you have. Remember 1 John chapter 5, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, Greek word gnosko, you may know experientially, you may know you have eternal life. And so you have these things. You have assurances. And many of your assurances that, you know, like in 1 Peter talks about, in, you know, even though you don't see them right now, you have an, you have a joy within you, a glorious joy within you, a presence and power within you. So when you're asking Satanists, who by the way are spending most of the time in their philosophy of just trying to seek self, bless self, I've never met a smiling, happy, joyful, you know, popular Satanist. And even the young man out of Cleveland, the whole reason he eventually confessed that he brought us up there was that he had no joy. Well, when he came to Christ, a spiritual exchange occurred, and he did have joy. He did. Page 21, under 4, point D, show them integrity as you share the gospel. Because of the cynicism, anger, other things that may be in them, they just can't put up, they will not put up with hypocrisy. Traditional Satanists the same way. Others, they don't want to put up with that at all. There's such a cynicism there that they're going to really demand. And you know what? The Word of God, First John chapter 2, verse 6. Here's what it says. Anybody who claims to be in him, that means you're claiming to know Jesus, you're in Christ. Anybody who claims to be in him must walk as Jesus did. And being obedient to the Word of God will give you great integrity. Living out your life as far as, you know, your real relationship with Christ. And just simply obedience to Christ. John's Gospel 15 is the central biblical discipleship teaching. The ground of all of the development of your spirituality is on the basis, you know, how are you going to abide in Christ? How are you going to bear fruit? How are you going to remain in His love? Well, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. Well, how do you stay with him? Well, it's clear there. Even as Jesus, representing what a relationship's all about, said, you know, that he remained in the Father's love. Why? By staying in the will of God. You know, he did the will of God. He came to do that. He obeyed, he followed the word completely. Now, you and I, as we obey the Word of God, we not only abide in His love, we'll bear fruit, we'll bear more fruit, it'll be a real experiential walk, and I think the book of 1 John's all about this too. The more you know Him, the more you love Him. The more you love Him, the more you obey Him. And the more you obey Him, the more you know Him. And the more you know Him, the more you're going to love Him. That's what the book of 1 John, it had those three key things: knowing Him, loving Him, obeying Him. Jesus said himself in the Gospel of John, if you love me, you will obey me, my teachings. And if you do that, the Father, we will make our home in you. And that's where the experiential side. We receive all of the grace and blessings of God by faith. But the manifestation outwardly comes in our walk of obedience. We're literally allowing all that has come into us to begin to flow through us and literally shine through us. So show integrity in the way you show integrity. You know, you're always telling the truth. You never lie. You speak, you know, the truth. You walk the truth. And just be obedient to the Word of God, and you'll be absolutely fine. And that's what I say in the last point. When dealing with popular Satanists, cover them in prayer. You know, do be watchful, because there may be some warfare, demons that may really, you know, claim one of these popular Satanists because they've opened up gateways and doorways, regardless if they know it or not, may not like you interfering. So clear the air around you. Rebuke the powers of darkness. You know, acknowledge your authority. Have the armor of God on. Excuse me again. Don't be surprised that if you are directly engaged, as we started Shatter the Darkness in the 80s, early 80s, we were specifically searching out young high school students who were into Satanism. As dabblers, self-styled, and then we were finding some that were reading the Satanic Bible and so forth. So, you know, stay in prayer, stay prayed up. You never live in fear, by the way. Never give that room to the enemy. If you live in faith, the shield of faith, you'll extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. And according to Peter chapter 1, you will be shielded by God's power through faith. And don't forget Psalm 91 might be a great chapter to study intricately. Let God speak to you out of Psalm 91, as obviously you're learning this material not for head knowledge. It's about ministry. There are now thousands upon thousands of popular Satanists out there. Doesn't make any difference. They're law enforcement, they're lawyers, they're Hollywood stars, they're young people, they're college students, could be a professor. You would not believe who's involved in a popular level, thinking, again, they're a part of something secretive, elitist, intellectual in some senses. And, you know, being allowed to follow their base sin code, sin nature, in the rituals and so forth that are played out. Well, I'm going to give you a part two to this session eight, which will go over the nine satanic statements, their core belief stuff, and give that, you know, kind of my insight in comments on those nine statements. This is Russ Dizdar, and you are in Satanism 101, the course from Theology for the Third Millennium. Don't forget to check out shatterthedarkness.net once in a while, see some of the new stuff we have, or Preemption Broadcast. Hey, the Lord bless you. Keep us in your prayers as I pray for you, every student who is enrolled, and every individual who's gotten this course. May God give you great insight and fill you with His compassion, but also His wisdom in order to reach others for Jesus.